Well, Ephesians chapter 5, if you would. If you're there in Ephesians chapter 5, please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you would, please. We're going to read together responsively. I'll read the odd verses by myself, and you can read with me the even verses. Beginning in chapter 5, we're going to read the first 21 verses of this chapter today. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, or covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then, that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Last week we talked about being a cheerful giver. And, you know, I think that's, of course, going to be the foundation for this idea. But then the question comes to mind, what is it that we should give? You say, oh, those Baptist preachers and you included, Brother Combs, you're just after our money. You're after our commitment cards. And you want to know how much we're going to give, how many dollars we're going to give to the local church and its ministries this year. Well, yes, but that's just for me to be responsible in doing that work. But you know what? If that's the kind of cynicism you have, I don't want your money, right? Because it's not about the money. It's about way more than that. So over the next several times that God allows me to and leads me to direct and directs me to do this, today we're going to talk about the stewardship of our time. Our time. And I'm just going to kind of dip back into last week and just say that, hey, we need a purpose in our heart to give God our time. And we need to give our time. Remember it said, so let him give. And guess what? Not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. You see, this applies not just to dollars, but to our seconds, minutes, hours, days, and years. Are we going to be a good steward of the time that God has appointed to us? You know that God has appointed a bound of your life? It's a boundary. You know, all of us have a birthday and a time of our birth. I was born just right. It was 11:50 a.m. Just in time for lunch. Right? I mean, doctor gets to go to lunch. Mommy gets to have lunch. Baby gets to have lunch. I love it. It's perfect.
That's how it should be, right? And all the mothers are like, you know, a lot of our kids are born at like 3 in the morning, 2 in the morning. It's like, good grief. We're supposed to be sleeping, not being born. All right. Anyways, but, you know, it's about, we have a birthday, a beginning of our life here on this earth. And can I tell you something? It's appointed unto man once to die. We have an appointment with death, folks. We do. There's going to be a time that we expire. And it's not like milk where you can go past the expiration date sometimes. But then it turns into cottage cheese, I guess. But you know, we have a boundary of our life. How are we going to manage that time that we've been allotted? We've been given a certain amount of time. And guess what? It ought to be purposed for God. And it ought to be given to God. And not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver of his time. Or her time. You see, here in our text that we read, Paul's going and encouraging and teaching the Christians there in Ephesus, and he's exhorting them to love and to purity and to prudence, and he's saying, you know, we need to be wise and we need to walk in the light and not partake in these things of the flesh, and we need to live the life that God has allowed us to have to live. And then he says in verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. You know, we need to be good stewards of the time that God has given to us. Because can I tell you something? Of the bounds of our life, I would be very comfortable saying most of it is spent on us. And I'm not just talking about, well, yeah, Pastor, you're right. I didn't get saved till I was in my 20s. I didn't get saved till I was in my teens or teenage years, or I didn't get saved till my 30s or 40s. And yeah, I lived for myself and the world and the devil. That was all wasted time. Because I'm only given so much. Okay, well, I was saved as a kid, but throughout my life, I kind of drifted back and forth from the Lord. And yeah, I lived a carnal Christian life, and I've wasted a lot of time for the Lord. And that's probably true. That we've wasted a lot of time of our lives that God has given to us, not on Him, but on us. Or other pursuits. So we need to redeem the time. We only have so much time left. From this message, this day, this appointed time that we've gathered together here, forward. We only have so much left. We need to redeem the time. God has given us this time, but it's for His purpose, not for our own. Don't waste time. You know what? You can waste money and earn it back. You can't waste time and earn it back. You can't. Because once it's gone, it's gone. You're not going to be able to add years to your life, folks. You say, yeah, but that's what the health commercials say. If I exercise and take these pills, I can add years to my life. Well, okay, well, the Bible says you can't. I'm just saying we need to be a good steward of our time. We need to be a cheerful giver of our time to God. You see, this concept and this idea is not about dollars. It's not about gold or silver or precious stones or things of material value. But much more than that. Much more than that. It doesn't include that, but much more. Paul says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools. So guess what? Who doesn't manage their time well for God? Fools. But as wise, he says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. He says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Why did he put that one there as a qualifier after saying redeeming the time? Because that's what God's will is for us. To manage our time. To be wise with our time that God has entrusted to us. You know, just as a missionary would stand here and show us the video and share with us the burden that they have for a certain country. Oh, listen, they appreciate the financial part of what we send to them each month. But just like God, they'd rather have our time praying for them, encouraging them, maybe communicating with them, than they would the dollars that we send each month. Do you have time for God? Can I say that with my Cheshire cat smile? Do you have time for God? Say, yeah, Brother Combs, I have time for God. Oh, yeah? Map it out. Sit down with a calendar. Put the hours on a day. The hours on a week. Have you given God His 10% of your week? Do you even know how many hours that is? Well, let's see. 24 times 7. Y'all can do that one, right? Okay, 10% of that. Move the decimal point over. God deserves our time, folks. God should get a little over 2.5 hours out of every day of your life. Just purely 100% given to God. Shouldn't He? Hey, let me ask a question. Why not? That's a lot of time. That's 1.5 movies. Or 3 commercialless episodes of a certain program that I watch on Netflix. Did I just quantify it for you? Isn't God worth 3 episodes of your favorite television show? Hey, a football game. Now I'm picking at myself here. If I watch a football game on TV, it's about 3 hours, a little plus. Isn't God worthy of the time it takes to watch a football game? Or a baseball game, hockey game? Any of those things. Do you have time for God? In Matthew 6, God wants our time. He expects our time. And when thou prayest, we talked about this. I preached a whole series on this back last November, right? About prayer. So I'm not going to hammer that again, but I just want to emphasize that God wants your time. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, they may have to be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. He wants our time. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Wherefore, later in that chapter, He says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? In other words, don't waste time on all those things. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Time. God wants your time. He wants time with you. Matthew 22, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Hey, Do you have love for God? Do you have time for Him? We need to make time for God. We need to give time to God cheerfully, not grudgingly, not a necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver of His or her time. John chapter 4. Jesus said, "But the hour cometh and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." And He walks with me and He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other shall ever know. Are you giving your time to God? Do you feel that way? Do you walk with Him? Do you talk with Him? Do you study to show yourselves approved unto God? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. David said, "O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee. God, I want to give You my time. I want to give You this time. I want You to have it, not grudgingly, not of necessity. I want to give it because I want to be with You. This time is for You, God. And guess what? Not just the 10%, but I want to give You some more. Some offerings over and above." A dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory. So as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary, because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore, in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Be a good steward of your time. Make time for God. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 10. And just so you know, I fall into this trap too. Time escapes me. My wife smiles because she knows that. How long are you going to be? Oh, about an hour. there's a factor that whatever I say should be multiplied by. Because it's going to be like 3 hours. I don't know the exact number, but it doesn't always end up the way I want it to. But I fall into this trap. Because listen, I want to serve God. Look here, chapter 10, in verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. Came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Hey, make sure that the time that you give to God is not just, you know, these things that we should do, that's going to cover that area of necessity. Hey, folks, we should go soul winning. We should be a witness. We should come to church. We should read our Bibles. We should pray. Let me read something to you. "I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Mary wasn't doing anything, or Martha wasn't doing anything wrong. Church at Ephesus wasn't doing anything wrong. Just make sure that time with God is genuine. That you include Him in it. Right? Yeah. Amen. Be a good steward of our time. Time for God. Take your Bibles and turn back to Ephesians chapter 5. Paul tells the people in Ephesus, well, speaking of Ephesus, we just read about them in Revelation, didn't we? Why was Paul hammering this home? Well, Jesus revealed that they had a little issue with this. Redeeming the time. But once you look past that, look at verse 22. We stopped at verse 21 in our text reading this morning. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now keep in mind, in this letter, as Paul was writing to the Ephesians, there were no chapter and verse delineations. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Not only do we need to make time for God, we need to have time for family. Husbands and wives, you need time. You need time. I over the years, have had to grow in this area, and I probably still could use some more growing. But we need to make time. Husbands and wives need to have time together. They do. And I do enjoy good television program, and I do enjoy sports, but you know what? That's not quality time with my wife. I think it is because I'm happy she's there, but she needs more than that. You know what? It goes on. I told you. Talking about husbands, wives, that's wonderful. Talks about children. You know, our society today treats children like a disease. They do. They're a bother. They're an inconvenience to our life's plans. Why? I must be a sucker for punishment if that's the case. But they're not. They're not an inconvenience. They're an heritage of the Lord. Our children need our time. We as parents, we get so busy, caught up with everything. And listen, there's a lot to do. Oh, yes, we should be responsible. We should work hard and we should do all those things. But Don't forget. Hey, if we're gonna really kind of cut things down, I told you, I challenge you, map it out. I've done it before, and it is convicting. How much time I give to me and a lot for me. And how much time I allot for God, how much time I allot for my wife, how much time I allot for my kids. You know what it revealed? I'll just be honest with you. It revealed that your pastor is selfish. That's what it revealed. Boy, I'm trying hard to change it. Because I didn't like what I saw. Just figure it out. Just do the math. See, I hate math. Well, I understand. Just do the math. They need our time. Time with our family is important. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know what that takes? Time. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and upon thy gates. Joshua said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me, I will serve the Lord. Is that what Joshua said? Mm-mm. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Whoa. Hey, Joshua, you're a big shot leader of the children of God. You meant I will serve the Lord, right? No. That's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hey, they're doing it together. There's a together thing there. We've gone through this book of the Bible this last year. But in 2 John, it says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake which dwelleth in us, and it shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received the commandment from the Father. Hey, God likes that. Well, he loves it when we spend time with him, and we ought to. But he also loves it when we spend time with our family, investing, loving, being with them. We ought to spend the time wisely. Back in Ephesians 5, in the first part of the chapter, he says, not as fools, but as wise. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be wise with the use of your time. Listen, we only have so much of it. I've already said that. Time for God. Time for our family. Look at the last one. Take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Beginning in verse 19. Not only should we manage out time for God and time for our family. Look at verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from even evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let's hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. We need to have time for others. Time for others. You see, Pastor Combs, I'm with you on the time for God. I'm even with you on the time for family. But I need some time too. Why isn't there a point number four? Well, first of all, it's not enough time. Secondly, I only have 3 points. Because we already are lopsided in time for self. Listen, there'll be plenty left for you. You know, just to link this to the idea of finances, out of that big old 100% pie, 10% doesn't seem like much, does it? You give it to God, there's 90% left. You just make a little pie chart. That's fun, okay? I like applied math. That's fun to look. That's why I love geometry. You can actually see it on the paper, you know? And then you cut out a little notch for the family. Cut out a little notch for the others. There's still a whole bunch left. That's why there's no point number four about time for me. Me time. So we're trying to get away from me time and make it God time, family time, and others time. So much the more. Assemble together. Exhort one another. Build one another up. Iron sharpeneth iron. Romans 12, he says, Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You know what's great? What's great is to go walk the streets of this city knocking on doors with brothers and sisters in Christ. You know what's great? Gathering together here in this place on Sunday morning, singing and lifting our voices up to the Lord in praise and reading from the Word of God and interacting back and forth with each other, times of Sunday school and preaching and fellowship afterwards. That's great. Time for others. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them which rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Aren't we told to bear each other's burdens? Pray for one another. Build each other up. Be of the same mind toward one another. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. John 13, the Last Supper, if you will. So after that he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again. He said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord. Ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Missing happiness in your life? It's probably because you're spending all your time on you. Yeah. Hey, if you put yourself last, you'll win. You'll be happy. Put God first. Family, others, next. and you last. Hey, maybe in that pie chart, whittle it down so that you get the least amount of it. You say, oh, that'll be miserable. Do you believe the Bible? If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I'm just going to believe God in that. Works for me. Worked for Jesus. It'll work for you. Philippians 2, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, as ye be like-minded. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ? How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. But these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some having compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke 14. You say, hey, Pastor Combs, I got this. Fellowship, that's important. I give time for that. Coming to church, assembling together with the believers, praying for one another. I got one of these lists with the people, with the missionaries and with the birthdays, and I'm praying for these folks as led by the Holy Spirit of God, and I call people and I text people, and we invite them over for lunch on Sundays or on another day of the week, and well, we're involved, we're giving time to others. That's great. What about the lost? You say, oh, I need some me time before I give to the lost. They're lost. Well, I respect the saved, the brethren. Are you there? So the servant came and showed his Lord these things. What things? All the people that said they couldn't come. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. The Lord said unto the servant, give me some more time. Servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. You have time for winning the lost? Christ? Time to show people Jesus? Time to go out visiting? You say, well, it's going to cut into me time. Yeah, it is. But it's okay. I'm just trying to say, folks, today, we need to be a good steward of our time. Can I tell you something? It's really easy to waste time. But don't. You know who wastes time? A fool. A fool wastes time. Time for God? Time for family? Time for others, both the saved, the brethren, and the lost. Do you have time?